If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah this morning for the thought from the Word of God. Nehemiah is one of my favorite books in the Bible. If you look at the history of the children of Israel, they were up against surmounting odds many times throughout their history. But when God is on your side, the odds swiftly change, amen. And the Lord was helping Nehemiah to rebuild the wall there in Jerusalem. And I want to look at a time when the Word of God was discovered and bring you a message this morning that God put in my heart. With revival coming up, and there's actually a truth here that it's been there the whole time, but I didn't realize it. I didn't see it. And it doesn't usually work this way, but the Lord gave me a title and then showed me why that He gave me the title. I wanted to think about along the lines of revival, and I was thinking about the condition of our country. Now listen, I know that economically we're doing better. I realize that. I know that as far as the church and as far as the things of God, they're not being scorned like they once were. I realize that. But also realize that there's a multitude of people in our country that are lost. There's a multitude of homes in our country that are in trouble. There's a multitude of hearts that are troubled. And I just learned recently about a lady that I love dearly that tried to take her life. There's a desperation in many places and a desolation in many places. But today I'd like to preach on this subject, revival among the ruins. I'll show you in a minute why the Lord dealt in my heart, I believe, the way that He did. Let's read just the passage, and then we will get together and pray and gather around the Word of God. The Bible said in chapter 8, verse 1, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel." Let me just say this. Every time your pastor asks a man, such as Brother Don McCann, to come, I'm confident of one thing. That man, whoever I ask, is going to bring this book. I'll tell you, if I ever ask a man to come and he don't bring this book, he won't be asked to come back. I can tell you that right now. But I believe God's man will bring God's word, amen. We'll bring the book. And that ought to be our heart this morning, that when we gather together, that someone would just bring the book. I tell you, the book is what we need in this generation. Amen. And I pray that God will use this message to be a blessing in our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, today that You will clothe us in our calling. God, I pray You'd help us to preach. I realize, Lord, I am a dying man, and I realize, God, that I'm preaching to a dying people. Many of our people, Lord, in the last 5 years have gone on home to be with Jesus. The rest of us, our Lord, are on the way. And I pray, Lord, until we get home, that You'd help us to be faithful. Help us, our Lord, to have a revival in our homes, have a revival in our church, have a revival in our community and in our country. Help us, we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Look back with me at chapter number 7 quickly this morning, and I'll show you how the Lord dealt in my heart. I didn't even realize this was here. You know, the Bible said over there the wall was finished in chapter 6 and verse number 15. So I said to myself, Lord, why are You dealing in my heart this way? I went back and read chapter number 7, and when I got to verse number 4, the Lord showed me. Look at chapter 7 and verse number 4. The Bible said, now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to give you a number in a little while. I believe it's 42,600. I'll give it to you. It's in my notes. It's given to us in chapter number. You say, well, that's not many people. Or you say, that's a lot of people. But God said they were few. In comparison, Brother Steve, to those who could have went back home, who chose to go back home, they were just a few. Amen. But listen, I want to give you something. Read the rest of the verse with me. The Bible said, and the houses were not builded. So God instantly showed me why that he had put in my heart the walls up. They've discovered the word of God. But inside the city, Brother Rose, the houses, the homes were not builded. They were still laying in ruin. They were still laying in rubbish. The word of God tells us over there, I believe, in chapter number 4. But listen to me. I believe God is in the home building business. Help me this morning. And I'll tell you this. If God's in the home building business, you can mark this down. The devil's in the home breaking business. Amen. And we need revival. And we can have revival. Even though there's many things in shambles around us, God's people right here are going to show you in chapter number 8 are going to have revival. I'm going to say some things this morning that I trust will be a blessing. I trust will stir your heart and stir your mind. I got a 2-point message this morning. Now you got excited, you made a mistake, but I got a 2-point message this morning. Number one, we're going to have revival. What do we need? Number one, we need the precious people of God. We need the people of God. We need the people of God. Watch with you, if you will, here in chapter number 8, in verse number 1. The Bible said, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man. Let me just say this. First of all, we need God's people to participate. Listen, I'm not saying this in an ugly manner. Let me just turn it around instead of saying what I was about to say and say this. What would it be like if every one of us that comes to church on Sunday morning were to participate in this revival that's coming up? That would just make a few minutes listen. You say, well, my kids are in school. I've got this to do. I've got that to do. You know what really brings revival? When we set aside what we've got to do what he wants us to do. That's what really brings a stirring. How many's ever went to church when you didn't feel like it? I mean, you absolutely didn't feel like it. And you got there. And how many knows that's when the blessing comes? Amen. God knew you didn't feel like it. God knew you had other things you could be doing. But God saw that you were faithful. And the Bible's teaching us here that all of these people in chapter number 7, the number exactly is 42,360 people. The Word of God said they all gathered as one man in the street for one purpose. They said, Ezra, bring that old book. That's what we need. Amen. I tell you what, if we just get together, amen, and everybody would come, everybody would invite somebody else, you talk about a stirring among the people of God, you talk about the man of God mounting this pulpit and being excited, amen, to look out there and see, hey, here's a bunch of people that are hungry, here's a bunch of people that want revival, they're here, they're going to participate in what's going on in the revival. We need the precious people of God. We need them to participate, number one. But number two, we need them in one accord. In other words, listen, we need to have that one purpose. We want to see Jesus. We want somebody to open this old book. We want to see Jesus as he is. We want to see ourselves like we are. You say, preacher, what happens when you see Jesus like he is and see ourselves like we are? I tell you what happens. We begin to want to repent. Say amen. And we begin to want to be more like Jesus. And we begin to want to, my friend, listen, God and God's word to work in our heart and in our life. We need them to participate. We need them in one accord. Let me give you some phrases or some verses that I found in the Word of God. The Bible said in Joshua 9, they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. Let me tell you something right now. The enemy's in one accord. Somebody say amen.
The enemy that's coming to fight, amen, will be in one accord. We need God's people to be together. The Bible said that in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And my friend, listen, when they got together and the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I believe, listen, if we were sick and providentially hindered and couldn't be here and had to be in the hospital and we prayed over there, I believe God will say amen to that prayer. But I'll tell you what I believe. I believe if we're lazy and, my friend, listen, and we won't come to the house of God and we won't participate in what's going on, we say, I'll stay home and pray for them. I don't believe God's hearing that prayer. Somebody say amen. I believe we need to do what God wants us to do in this generation that we live in. We need them to be in one accord. Acts chapter 2, verse 46, they continue in daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Listen, Paul said in Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That's what brings the blessing, amen. The Bible said, behold, how good and how beautiful it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity, amen. It's precious in the sight of the Lord. Beloved, listen, they're in one accord. Jesus, three times in John chapter 17, said this. He said, now I'm no more in the world. He's talking to his Father. He said, but these are in the world. He said, I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And then he said in verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory in verse 22, which thou hast given me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Jesus prayed three times in John chapter 17. He realized all hell was going to come against us. And as he's praying for the church, he's saying, oh God, bring them together. And here in the book of Nehemiah, they said to the man of God, Ezra the priest, bring the book. And they gathered themselves together, the word of God said, as one man. In other words, beloved, there was nothing to divide them. Their attention was on the word of God and what the man of God was going to give them. Amen. And that's a blessing. And then number three, under this first thing, we need the precious people of God. We need them to participate. We need them in one accord, together as one man. And then we need them to have one request. Bring the book. Amen. Say amen. One wasn't saying bring the book, and another one saying bring a concert. No. One wasn't saying bring the book, and another one, listen, they all had the same goal. Bring that precious whole book. I'll tell you this right now. Revival will never come apart from this precious whole book. It'll come through the book. God will bring revival through the book. Now let me give you this. That's the first thing in the message. Let me give you the second thing in the message. I'm moving right on. We need the precious people of God. How many say amen to that? Amen. Listen, I'm not asking for a commitment this morning. I've already asked God, and I'll ask him again just to stir in our hearts. Amen. And help us, amen, to get here for the revival, to get here and realize, beloved, listen, that God wants to do a work in our midst. Amen. Someone that's providentially hindered, I've already said it, that's one thing. But beloved, listen, I believe it'd be all right, just fine. The revival meeting starts at 7 o'clock. My friend said, I can't make it till 20 after 7. Who's that going to bother? I'll tell you who, the devil. Just walk on in the door, 7 o'clock as soon as you can get here, 7:20, 7:30, quarter to 8, and say, I want somebody to bring that book. They might read that one verse and make a difference in your home. Make the difference in your youngin. Make a difference in your teenager. Make a difference in the rest of you. I believe this book is that powerful. That one verse can change a life. Amen. I believe it's that powerful. The second thing we need, not only the precious people of God, but we need the precious word of God. Let me give you some things right here. You say, preacher, you've already touched on that. Yeah, but I'm fixing to touch a little deeper. Say amen. I've been going to therapy for my back. That guy gets a hold of that muscle and he touches on it. Sometimes I wish he'd just stop right there. Because when he gets done, he's touching a little deeper. The other day, got a needle out and went a little deeper. I'm telling you what's the truth. I didn't know that muscle was that deep. Say amen. I believe we need to touch on this word of God a little deeper. Number one, a man with the book. The word of God said in chapter number 8 and verse number 2, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation of both men and women, and all could hear with understanding until the first day of the seventh month. Let me just say this. Brother Richard and Brother Jim, they do a great job back there with the sound system and taking care of the video and things like that. But Ezra didn't have a video. Ezra didn't have a sound system. What the Word of God said was they built a pulpit of wood. In other words, listen, I stand behind the pulpit. Ezra was just standing up on a big wooden structure. Amen. And beloved, listen, they were all the way around him. Amen. And I don't know how 42,000 people can hear one man, but I'll tell you this. I have been in Israel, and I do know that there's coliseums and there's places you can stand. And beloved, you'd think somebody had a hold of a microphone, and it could just be that God's Holy Ghost give Ezra the microphone to stand on that pulpit of wood. And when he spake, I believe everybody heard the Word of God that day. Amen. The Word of God said we need a man of God. We need a man of God with the book. And then we need time in the book. Look in verse number 3. The Bible said, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning till midday. You know what? Listen to me carefully. You can say whatever you want to. With this mouth, it don't matter. What does your life say last week about the book? You say, preacher, why is it we have such a hard time finding time to get in the book? I tell you why. Because our enemy knows. Beloved, listen, he can handle you. He can handle me. But he cannot handle that book. He'll do anything he can to keep us out of that book. He'll do anything he can, beloved. Listen, that's why America's went in the direction it's went in. Too many preachers have given up on that book. That book will still get the job done. Amen. Watch this now. Not only did they have time in the book from the morning until the midday, boy, that'd kill a lot of meetings, wouldn't it? Somebody say amen. Oh, preacher, hurry up and get us out of here. Listen to me. I'm not fussing this morning, but the fact of the matter is our lives too many times say we don't have time for God. God gives every one of us the same 24 hours. God gives every one of us the same 7 days in a week. And I'll tell you, there's a judgment seat coming, and we're going to give an account for every one of those hours. And we're going to give an account for the days, beloved, that we skipped on out there in our own will instead of skipping out in God's will because we didn't have time for the book. There's a revival coming in this chapter and in chapter number 9. But I'm trying to get you to see it's because the people of God were precious and they gathered together. I'm trying to get us to see it's because, beloved, listen, they wanted the right thing. They wanted the book. They wanted the man of God to bring the book. I believe this. And thirdly, they were attentive unto the book. Look what the Bible said. Before the men and the women, verse number 3, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Now listen, do you believe that when the Bible said the ears of all the people, that it means the ears of all the people? Our beloved, listen, I believe the Holy Ghost showed up. They knew that they had something missing for years in Israel, and they found the Word of God, and they said, Ezra, please, please bring that book. And they were listening to what God had to say from that book. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can come into this church tired. If you'll just breathe a prayer, oh God, I'm wore out. God, help me not to be so wore out I can't hear what you want me to hear. God, help me not to be so wore out. Brother Brian, you've only been back a little while. I know there's times you come in, your battery's good and charged, and boy, you're ready to go in that Sunday school class. There's other times you just have to make yourself go. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, it's the right thing to do. Just get in that book and be attentive to that book. if we'd all begin to pray right now, oh God, Brother Don's coming. Brother Don can't bring revival. But Lord, would you help me to listen to every word? Would you help me to sit on my edge of my pew and not miss a word that's coming from that old book? I believe it'd make a difference, amen. It'd make a difference. They were attentive unto the book. I read this. I thought it was good, especially since this year. I was telling Chad a while ago, we got pictures of bears everywhere. Where we got game cameras up, there's bears showing up everywhere. But listen, at Yellowstone National Park, it was a former park ranger. He tells the story of a ranger that was leading a group of hikers to a fire lookout. Okay? The ranger was so intent on telling the hikers about the flowers and the animals that he considered the messages on his two-way radio distracting. In other words, that radio kept going off. So what did he do? He just turned the radio off so he could keep telling them about the flowers and the animals as they were taking their hike. Now listen to the rest of the story here. Nearing the tower, the ranger was met by a nearly breathless lookout who asked why he had not responded to the messages on his radio. He said a grizzly bear had been stalking the group, and the authorities were trying to warn them of the danger. Anytime we turn out the message that God has sent us, we put at peril not only ourselves, but also those that are around us. How important it is that we never turn off God's saving communication. I read that last night and I thought about this. Glory to God, as far as I know, there's not a grizzly bear on my tail, but there's a lion on my tail. I'm telling you, beloved, he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. You and I need the book. Oh God, we need the book. We need a man of God to bring the book. Bring the book. They're after my kids. They're after my grandkids. Somebody bring the book. He's after our church. Somebody bring the book. He's after our homes and our marriages. Oh, you say my marriage is fireproof. Beloved, let me tell you something. I wouldn't even breathe those words. I'm telling you what's the truth. We better never underestimate the enemy. But we better realize this, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I'm telling you, beloved, if we'd fear God, if we'd get in this old book, God would give us what we need to do what we need to do for his honor and his glory. Let me hurry right along here. Need to be attentive to the book. We need a reverence for the book. The Bible said in verse number 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. That's where you see that pulpit of wood. He was above all the people when he opened it. Watch this now. And the word of God said, all the people stood up. Boy, I can just see this. Brother Lance, you work with teenagers and you have some precious little boys. And another one coming soon. I could just see one of them little boys just sitting there. When Daddy stood up, the man of God stood up, Daddy stood up, and that boy sitting there, can't you just hear that Daddy saying, son, stand up. I'm going to tell you something right now. There wasn't nobody taking a knee that day when the Word of God was opened. The Bible said all the people stood up. You say, when are we going to have revival in our community? When we get that reverence for the Word of God back. When are we going to have revival in our country? I tell you when. When we find the time to open the Word of God. Beloved, listen, among the politicians, other than when somebody dies. And realize it's not just for comfort when somebody has died, but it's for guidance while we're living. We need the book. There was a reverence for the book. They responded to the book. Look at verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people sat there and said, bless me if you can. Is that what it says? All the people answered, all of them, amen, amen. They lifted up their hands, they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. I'm going to tell you something right now. Beloved, listen. They've been trying to fix this book now for a long time. This book don't need to be fixed. We need to be fixed. This book will fix us. But I tell you what, this book will fix us when we realize we need to respond to the book. They bowed their faces to the ground. They understand the book. Look at verse number 7. The word of God said in Jeshua and Benai and those other names that are hard to say. And the Levites caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. They've had them a time of lifting their hands. They've had them a time of bowing and worshiping, thanking God they're hearing the book. Now they're standing back up again, and they're standing in their place. Listen to me carefully. There's a message right there in those few words. They stood in their place. Let me give you something about the will of God. I know that God called me to preach. I know that. I hope one day you figure that out. But if you don't, that's okay. I know that God called me to preach. But let me tell you something right now. Being called to preach, and we need to pray for our other preachers right now. Brother Coulter, he definitely got a call of God on his life, but I guarantee you he's thinking, where, when, how? Is it evangelism? Is it missionary work? Is it pastoring? We just don't know what. Listen, but I'm telling you, beloved, listen, when a man of God hears from heaven and God tells him where his place is, the thing to do is to stand right there in that place. There's a lot of pulpits in America, and I don't say this boastfully. There's a lot of places I could stand, but I want to stand in the one place where God wants me to stand. Bible Way Baptist Church ain't for everybody. Listen to me carefully. You say, how could you make a statement like that? Because everybody don't want what's going on around Bible Way Baptist Church. Some do. I thank God they do. I haven't figured out what some want. I think some haven't figured out exactly what they want. But I do know this. God wants his children to find their place and stand there. Find their place and stand there. There's a lot of places Brother Fred could have led the singing. A lot of places. Anybody, Brother Ralph, been glad to have him. Been glad to have you and the trio. But we got to know we're in the place where God wants us. And when we get there, we need to just take our stand, dig our roots in, say, praise God, right here's where God wants me to stand. Amen. They understood the book. They were convicted by the book. Look at verse number 9. The last part of it, the Bible said here, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep. Why did Nehemiah and Ezra tell them that? Because all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Let me ask you something. Can you imagine being where they're at? For years and years and years, they have not heard. They get back to Jerusalem. Somebody found the book. Somebody opens the book. And their heart is tendered. Let me tell you something about our generation, about our Bible Belt. If we're not careful, we get this attitude, I've heard it all. Am I right or am I wrong? What I'm trying to tell you this morning, that even the pastor ain't heard it all. That's why God took me back to chapter number 7 to show me the wall was built, it was finished, but listen, the homes were still in shambles. Amen. You know what they're standing there doing now? They're standing there and their hope is being lifted. They're thinking, that same God that Ezra's telling us about that helped us to build the wall is going to help us to build our home. It's going to help us with our family, going to help us with what we need in the days ahead. Oh, beloved friend, bring the book. There's a reverence for the book, an understanding of the book. They're convicted by the book because all the people wept. The Bible told them there in verse number 14 down through verse number 16. We see that the Bible said in verse 16, so the people went forth and they brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house. I told Miss Eve last night, I said, now this even makes more sense. There was a Feast of Tabernacles over there in the Old Testament where the people of God would make a booth. It was like a little shed type thing. And it was a place to get out of the sun. It was a place where you could relax. It was a place where you could rest. But even this makes more sense now, Brother Steve. They don't have a home to go home to. And so they erected these booths. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? They did what they were told to do. They were obedient to the Word of God. And God blessed them beyond measure. Then let me give you this in finishing. We need to continue in the book. Two things we need to have revival among the ruins. We need the precious people of God, and we need the precious Word of God. Bring the book. Bring the book. Watch this in the last verse here, in chapter number 18. The Bible said, also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. We need to continue in the book. Just keep right on keeping on in the book. Listen, you say, preacher, it don't work anymore. You'll have to tell somebody else that. I'm going to tell you something right now. Brother Lance, if this book don't work anymore, take them boys and go home. Forget about it. Quit lying to them teenagers. This book don't work anymore. I know this book does work. It don't work in just one people, the Israelites. It works in all people. It don't work in just one place in Jerusalem. It works in all places. It don't just work in one generation. Blessed be God, I believe my papa will be proud of me right now to say, this book works in every generation. We just need to continue in the book. Well, if God wants us to continue in the book, somebody tell me what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to close the book, set our coffee on it, set our tea on it. I'm going to tell you something right now. God wants us to open this whole book. Amen. Now, you can do whatever you want to, but I don't believe I'll ever be called in a place called a church where they don't open this whole book. I wouldn't call it a Sunday school class if they don't open this whole book. There's nothing wrong with having some helps and some literature. I'm not against that, as long as it's got King James Bible in it. Somebody said, help me right there. I'm not against that. I'm not against that at all. But I tell you what, if you can teach a Sunday school class without the book, I don't know. If a pastor can pastor a church without the book, I just don't know about that. If you can raise a family without the book, I don't know how you can do that. We need this old book. Brother Don, I love you, buddy. And I've got confidence that coming through those doors will be a man that's 80 years old with a book under his arm. He ain't going to just wait till he gets here to open it. He's already opened it. He's already studied it. He's already talked to the God of heaven. What do they need up there, Lord, at Bible Way? And the time is going to come. The singing will be over. And the pastor will say to the man of God, Brother Don, you come and give us what God's put on your heart. I'm absolutely confident. He may go up with that book under his arm. He may go up with that book in his hand. But when he gets right here, that book is going to fly open. And he's going to light into what God gave him out of that book. You say, preacher, that's so elementary. Well, I'll just say this. There's a whole lot of people need to go back to elementary school. Because we need the book. We need you. Maybe you're here this morning and I've been here 5 years. There's probably been 8 or 10 revival meetings right here in this church in 5 years. And maybe you've never one time come. I just ask you this morning, just ask God, Lord, is he right? Would it be good if we got together as one man? Is he right? Listen, asking yourself this question, it's not really, is he right? Is that book right? Is that book right? And if we'd all, we've only got, what, 2 weeks now? Is that right? Next Sunday's the 13th. Next Sunday's the 12th, ain't it? Miss E's birthday. Thank you, Brother Brian. Amen. Miss E's birthday, Brother Ralph. Miss E's birthday, preacher. Next Sunday's Miss E's birthday.
You are without excuse.
You could have went all day without saying that, Brother Gale.
Brother Brian reminded
me. He said, Brother Brian reminded me I'm without excuse. Somebody said you only forget one anniversary. Never forget another one.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I believe God wants us to have revival. Would you ask God to stir in your heart? And I know, listen, school started back. But if we were to sacrifice, what would God do? If we were to ask somebody, you know, at revival time, it's not even against the rules to ask somebody that's faithful to another church. Just say, listen, we're not trying to pull you out of your church, but would you come and help us in revival? Come, participate.
Amen.
Come and pray.
Amen.
Boy, I tell you something. I believe God wants to do something. I'm looking for him to do something. They said to Ezra, bring the book. He said, preacher, how should I pray for you? Pray I'll stay in the book. Pray I'll always bring the book. And then the Bible said this. I believe it was one of the prayers of the Apostle Paul. Brother Brian, you may know off the top of your head, but in one of those epistles, he said that the word of the Lord may have free course. What that means is that the Bible would not only be preached, but God would have his way in our lives.
Amen.
Through that Bible that's being preached. Thank you for coming. Pray with us about revival. Come. I'm not fussing at you. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to tell you we need you. I'm trying to tell you that, listen, it's important. And whatever we could do. How many remembers hearing about those days when the farmers farmed? How many remembers when they had morning services?
Amen.
Remember that?
Amen.
And they come out of the fields.
Yes, sir.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
I know there's a lot going on. Shift work and all that. Amen. I know all that. And I know that we can be providentially hindered. But if we're not, let's participate. If we're not, let's be praying that that man of God just bring that book, that precious old Bible, that God would have his way. Father, thank you this morning for the word of God. I pray, Lord, this morning that you'd stir in our hearts and stir in our lives. And Lord, this morning I pray that you'd just help us around Bible way to have a reverence for this precious old book. Lord, sometimes I wonder when I've preached so many verses we try to incorporate. Lord, I wonder after this message if we don't need to incorporate more. It needs to be from the Bible. Oh God, I pray, stir in our hearts. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.